This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Should we be worried on the East Coast? What's going on with COVID? Oh, yeah, there's a new variant. You're going to like that. Not really. What's going on with the Taliban government? Not good, but we knew that. And, oh, yeah, we will lighten the load here in this hour of this show as we will take you down a couple of different roads, including introducing you to some interesting authors that will make you think. One about the 90s. He's got a really, really funny book, Jonathan Roan. We're going to talk to him at the tail end of the hour. All right, before we get there, though, let's dive right into it. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hurricane Larry, I hope you don't hang out with us. And the good news is it's well out into the Atlantic, but it is a Cat 3. It's going to have impact in the U.S. perhaps later this week, mostly the east, which means rain. What's being said right now? Swells. You know, we're going to have a lot of swells out in the Atlantic, that kind of thing, rip currents. That's what's expected in some parts of, you know, the Outer Banks, for example. But Labor Day's gone, and lifeguards aren't patrolling beaches. And is anybody out there swimming, or are they going to school? I don't know. Hurricane force winds up to 70 miles an hour from the center. Tropical storm force winds would be on the outside rim, 185 miles an hour. So for Bermuda, for example, the Bermuda Weather Service issued a tropical storm watch on Tuesday, and the center is passing east of Bermuda on Thursday, but it's large, so some tropical storm conditions are possible there, heavy rainfall, flooding, that kind of thing. It just depends on how close the storm gets, and in tracking this, I mean, that's what the deal is. This is the third major hurricane of the season, following Grace and Ida, which we would have loved to see Ida veer in a different direction. And Larry has intensified. Looks like it's going to really miss most of the Atlantic, though, other than some rain and some swells and that kind of thing. It's not looking like it's slamming up, except for brushing against, if you go all the way up north, north, northeast, and to another country, Canada a little bit. But other than that, it should be okay. I just felt like I needed to tell everybody because I've had everybody ask me about Larry. So that's what I know. This is from someone who did weather for a couple of months. But I have friends in the weather game, and I can read a weather map, for goodness sake, and I certainly know what the NOAA people are saying, and that's what's being said right now. So there you have it. I can't tell you the same thing, any kind of good news, about a thing called Mu. In 49 states, COVID cases, by the way, are 300% higher than a year ago. So what's this new variant, and what do we have to know about it that affects all of us? Here's what we know. It's been seen in 49 states, so there's been at least a case in 49 states. California has the highest number. That's 384 of this Mu. The thing that is worrisome about it, it doesn't mean that this is 100% fact, but the people who do this for a living are pretty much saying, whether it's the Centers for Disease Control, whether it's independent science folks who are working on this, when they look at this, what they see with this variant is they don't know, right? Except for they're saying could perhaps not be effective with a vaccine. So that's not good. The potential to resist vaccines, and that it's more transmissible than the Delta variant? Yeah. Let's keep that at bay if possible. By the way, it was discovered in Colombia in January. It's shown up in Hawaii and Alaska and in 49 other states. Delta is still sadly all the rage and the big problem as the pandemic rolls on. That's where the big fight is, of course, over the Delta variant and the flood across a lot of hospitals in the South. It's killed more people in Florida and Louisiana than the worst days, did you know that, of the pandemic during the winter. And it's leaving too many people gasping for breath. Oh, that's the worst. It is the harsh reality of all of this. Just when we thought we had gotten rid of COVID. Smiles were returning. It looked like everything was lifting, and then Delta came along. Yeah. So for weeks in early August, we were kind of lulled into this sense of, I don't know if it's complacency or it's looking better or whatever word you want to put in there, whatever adjective, but the numbers aren't good in two of my favorite places. So, I mean, we know that we're looking at the hospital numbers, and let's kill these suckers, boy. Just, the worst, the pandemic raging. And then to hear about new, we're going to have some more people on to talk about that and dive a little bit deeper throughout the week. 9/11 is close, and it's something that I went through and was devastating to me. I didn't lose anyone, and I almost did, but they got out of the building. It was an uncle through marriage, but I know people that did lose people, and I, of course, was in New York as I was working at WFAN, and I was going back and forth a lot between Texas and New York, and it was stunning when it happened because the reality is that our world changed, and it did. If you can remember so much of what happened in the early days and then how long it took to get Osama bin Laden, and now the 9/11 mastermind still awaiting trial, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 20 years later, the defense team for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others are saying, well, they were tortured. And so they're collecting as much evidence as they can to the torture nightmare, they say, that happened to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others. But with the hearings resuming, the word was that KSM was laughing and waving to reporters and chatting it up with his attorneys. Now, family members could watch behind a wall of thick glass. There were some that were there at Guantanamo. The sound was piped in that in a delay, a 40-second delay, that kind of guarded against the defendants blurting out something classified, whatever that might be. But that was happening not just in Guantanamo, but a couple of other places in the U.S. as well. So what's happening here is while they're all in Guantanamo, the other big revelation, I think the New York Times did a story on this, is that every prisoner is costing $13 million a year to house at Guantanamo. I thought I was misreading that statistic, like $13 million? It's $13 million, but that number is right. And it's hard to believe that still we're nowhere near any kind of a trial or commission situation moving forward other than these very beginning stages here. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
The mic drop. Yep. There's a lot of things I could drop the mic on, frankly. I'll tell you one thing. It's not a mic drop, but it's something that, it just made me so sad. I was a big fan of a show called The Wire. How many of you saw The Wire? This is an interactive show, by the way. I know I can see with my special glasses that I see some hands raising. Yes, especially in the Baltimore area. Mm-hmm. And New Orleans, I see a few people too as well. Michael K. Williams was found dead on Monday. He was the guy who was Omar Little on The Wire. And he was in a lot of other things, of course, too. But, gosh, I was so sad. I guess he struggled with drug addiction, really. And he was just a good actor. So at 54, found dead in his Brooklyn home. And he made it his mission to steal from the drug dealers who rule the swaths of Baltimore. And he chipped away at all kinds of stereotypes. I mean, that was with his character. And he was such a well-known character, Omar, and his portrayal of it, that I think he got tagged with that a lot. But it was a good tag. And he was in many, many other things too as well. And he was a man fighting an addiction. It's being investigated as an overdose at this point, not officially an overdose, but it's being investigated that way. And it's very, very sad. But like I said, that was part of the genius of his acting. No question about it. He nailed it in the acting department of that character and so many others. He had the gift, I guess. Let's put it that way. Definitely. And I got to put this out there, too. I was having a conversation over Labor Day with somebody whose brother-in-law owns 6 restaurants, and they were talking about how tough it was to get employees, to get anything from dishwashers to waitresses to managers to, you know, you name it. And it's interesting because we were talking about what was happening in the restaurant business with eating in, and that, you know, we see these variants flying around, but we also see that so many people got used to, well, I'll just pick it up. You know, we'll just curbside it. And I've noticed this, that the drive-thrus, so I'm just talking about fast food. A lot of the drive-thrus, they're just drive-thrus now. The restaurant portion isn't open. I'm not saying all of them, because there's plenty that are. You know, whether you're talking about Mickey D's and Arby's, you know, whatever. So now the gist of it is, with worker shortages, higher labor costs, there's a lot of places, especially in the food sector, that are talking about automating service sector jobs that once were definitely considered safe, right? Like, oh, this is a piece of cake. Of course, you need someone. We get the customer, get the food, you know, can't get this interaction. Customers are in demand this, but now maybe not so much, right? And if you want your fast food and there's some automation that can work, it may be some automation of some sort. Robots that are used in much different ways. Maybe robots could, it's really being discussed and worked on. So no kidding. You're looking at the possibility of robots holding some of those jobs. Can you imagine that? I don't know. I don't really picture a robot necessarily tossing the pizza up in the air. But then again, in my neighborhood, I was driving around. I lived near a very big college. And I saw this little white, it almost looked like a little, it was tiny. It looked like a white VW bus, and it was going across the campus area where I was driving. And it's food. I mean, that's how food can get delivered. You order the food, the restaurant's there, the fast food, boom, they put it in, you have the lock, they go, and it's working brilliantly. And more places are doing that. Right? So now reopening during the pandemic, closing down, then reopening, all of that, it may lead to some of that. I mean, you think of the jobs that were lost in April and, well, March and April, 22.4 million jobs. That was like stamped in my head. And of course, many have been brought back since those spring days of 2020. But their job openings I talked about, that there's been 10.1 million job openings. And people are complaining they can't find workers. This is a common thread. Everywhere I go, I see the signs. I mean, I don't care what the industry, but especially in any kind of service industry. So it may be that some of the changes that have happened with COVID would be improved in the automation way, and you may see less of that. I really think you're going to see less fast food places that will have sit down. I think it'll be drive through. I do. And because then think of be a little bit less workers, I would assume, right? And especially if some of that was, some of that was automated. Whoo! Can you imagine? All right. To me, this is truly the mic drop moment. I know. You got to just drop it beforehand because I'm counting it already as the mic drop moment. I mentioned something about this the other week, but then I got more info on it, and it's crazy. It is crazy, crazy, crazy that the world's fastest accelerating coaster had to close because of several reports of broken bones. I mean, are you kidding me? Broken bones because you get on a roller coaster. The Dio Doppanpa coaster in Japan, because it opened in 2001. It was renovated in 2017. It goes 112 miles an hour. And between December 2020 and August 2021, four serious incidents were reported. A spine fracture, other fractures in the hand, in the neck. They're doing these investigations. They say they're going to make these safety checks. I don't know. Would you get on a coaster 112 miles an hour in like 3 seconds? I don't think so. I don't even know back in the day, I'm going to call it, when I would ride roller coasters and I wanted them bigger, better, faster. I don't know if I would get on that. And there is something about what where do we draw the line? I don't know. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line of what's too much, right? What's too much? What's too fast? My nephew always wanted me to go on the, what if it had a, if it just dropped and your stomach dropped out, and I would do it. I did it forever when he was a kid. And I bet you still if we went, he would want me to do it. But I don't think I would get, I just don't think I would get on that one. Maybe my daredevil days are behind me. 2 seconds, 112, 113 miles an hour. Ah, I'm just saying. All right, this could have been the mic drop moment, though, too. How about these Mississippi hunters that got a 787-pound gator? That's always a big deal. And this was in Columbia, Mississippi. That's huge. The Yazoo River, north of Redwood. They saw, spotted it. And so, you know, if you're an alligator hunter, you know what to look for. And I guess they had known about this alligator. When you know alligators, you know alligators. I've been down in the swamps in Florida with somebody who knew the gators and said, oh, I'm going to take you to this one gator there all the time. And sure enough, there was the giant, huge gator. Then there's some baby gators over here. Just knew the swamp like the back of his hand. There is something to this knowing what you're going after, knowing that they're going to be there. So they finally were able to capture this huge gator. 12 feet, 8 inches, big old boy, right? They kept going back, looking for the one. They had to get those, you know, they had to get these permits and everything else. And yeah, there's money attached to this. You get the, if you're on a hunting spree and there's a big reward at the end of it, so to speak, and that's the deal with this. If you get the biggest alligator, you win the big bucks. I mean, seriously, you need to look at this gator. I have to give it to all the guys that got this gator. It is crazy. Yazoo River, 787 pounds, August 29th. The head alone scares me. The feet alone. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about
Woo-hoo!
Turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic
Good
carbine?
Good job.
It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory.
It was funny when you did that, though.
Right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check.
It was
required.
Just funny when it was it's funny when you hit it in the beginning. It made for good
Build
radio, so it's good.
Custom upper today. Simply
good
go
job.
To
you did a good job. You got your first one out of the way.
HandgunConversion.com.
Compliment your health with hemp-derived
Yeah, and we'll do
oil.
Another one on
We've
Sunday. So
that the closer
get some
to
rest,
earth,
and I will talk to you on
body.
Sunday.
Our hemp-derived cannabinoid
yeah,
oil
Sunday
is phytocannabinoid-rich,
so
full-spectrum,
on...
and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com.
Yeah, you're not doing it.
Or call 877-878-4203. That's right. We
oh my
cut
gosh.
Through the red tape. It's now available
oh,
at
would...
GCNHemp.com.
No way.
Or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening
yeah,
to GCN.
Exactly. Cool. Well, I will see you on Sunday.
Today.
Cool, man. You too. Thanks, Jeremy.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A pretrial hearing for five men accused of planning the September 11th attacks got underway Tuesday after years of delays. Accused mastermind of the attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and the four others face a military commission for the first time in more than a year, as the trial has been delayed because of the pandemic. Proceedings inside the court at Guantanamo Bay went on for several hours before the judge dismissed the court ahead of schedule to allow both sides to regroup and strategize. And President Biden is set to lay out a new strategy to combat the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The president will announce his strategy Thursday during remarks from the White House. Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters Tuesday that the plan is a six-pronged strategy that is likely to include encouragement for the private sector to introduce more vaccine mandates. The announcement coming as the nation passed 40 million confirmed cases of COVID since the beginning of the pandemic last year. You're listening to USA Radio News. An elections reform bill delayed for days by an exodus of Democratic lawmakers is now the law in Texas. Tim Berg has more.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is signing an election bill into law. The Republican governor telling reporters it's a great bill because it expands early voting to 12 days, noting it's longer than President Biden's home state of Delaware. Abbott saying the bill will also make it harder for ballot harvesting and will withstand any legal challenges.
Whenever laws like this are passed, the first thing the Democrats do is they run to the courthouse and try to challenge it. I feel extremely confident that when this law makes it through the litigation phase, it will be upheld.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And more than 400,000 people in Louisiana remain without power more than a week after the area was hit by Hurricane Ida. Nearly three-quarters of New Orleans have had power restored, but another 430,000 in southeastern Louisiana are still without electricity. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Well, I'm excited to introduce you to Matthew Roan. He's written a book called Clean Pocket Change. And this is a novel that you can, you'll just dive into it, and I say it's consumable. In other words, you get into it, and you don't want to stop reading it, and you can actually finish it. And it's really, really entertaining and interesting. So, Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
Why did you write the book? What made you write the novel?
Well, you know, there's an agenda or a philosophical thinking to every writing, you know. My writing is strictly for entertainment. My novel is only 200 pages long, but the content is probably as loud as the cover art. my intentions are for people to laugh long after the book is finished. My hope is that the audience gains some coincidental inspiration. But my writing inspirations derive from stories about young people in mundane situations and where unusual circumstances erupt within those average settings. For example, 20 years ago while I was in the Marines, I read The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. And, you know, while reading Catcher in the Rye, I began examining my surroundings and noticed some of the personalities around me that were similar to those in the book. I mean, have you ever been in those situations?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny when it happens. But some of my other influences for Clean Pocket Change are 1980s comedy dramas. For example, John Hughes' earlier works like 16 Candles
Breakfast Club, I bet.
Yeah, Breakfast Club, and maybe a few other 1980s films like After Hours and Modern Girls.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I know all those. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, ask me if I'm wrong. They don't really make drama like that anymore, do they?
No.
Drama movies. So, I mean, that was the whole feel of this book. So, but
I like it. So you want somebody that likes sort of comedy dramas, and as you said, you want them to be entertained.
Yes.
Yeah. You nailed it. So now you've got us all on the edge of our seat for people who don't know Clean Pocket Change, which, by the way, you can get on Amazon. And we're speaking with Matthew Roan. What's the book about? Tell us more about the book.
The book is about two former Marine buddies that part ways and eventually reunite for a 10-day vacation. The two characters are Kevin and his female sidekick, Tony, which later Tony's neighbor, Malakas, joins the two. And, I should start each chapter, right? Just like a quick brief. Should I do that?
No, because we don't have people that are listening to us. I think you're telling us what it's about. You're on a good roll. Because time will run out. So
So
the book is about two former Marine friends that part ways, like you said. But then they come together for a 10-day vacation. You don't want to tell us everything about it, but there's a lot of shenanigans, right?
It sure is. And I found people who don't laugh a whole lot. They were laughing.
So, I love it. And so who are your favorite characters?
Let's see, my favorite characters. I think Kevin and Tony, Kevin, I believe that Kevin as an emboldened individual and Tony as a manic depressive, they work great together. Mm-hmm. And they help each other overcome their personal struggles. Some people said that some of my personal friends that they were happy that the two remained platonic. Compared to most stories, which eventually, I'm not going to give away too much of the story, but they help each other.
That's and, nice. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're a good team. And I added Malakas for a little conflict over just a slight bit of conflict over Tony, by the way, the name Malakas, that's a Greek word. It's a Greek word. And I knew a guy named his last name was Malakas. And, I thought it was a cool name. And, I met some Greek people over time, and I was like, what does Malakas mean? It means stupid, the fool.
The fool, Malakas. Okay, so
yeah.
Malakas is really super interesting, and I know that you mentioned to me Jerry Cantrell is one of your favorite characters. So tell us why we would be intrigued by Jerry Cantrell.
Jerry isn't just a character. Instead, he represents memories of my old friends, especially those who have bonded with. Back in the day, when I was younger, a lot of guys listened to Alice in Chains, and a lot of times you bonded over music, and I made a lot of friends bonding over Alice in Chains music, and to this day, I still love it, and my characters were just, I made my characters just absolutely crazy about Alice, and, I saw Jerry at a concert once, and it was one of the best concerts I ever attended, and I remember while I was in high school, I didn't have a lot of money, but after I left high school, I had a little bit of money, and I remember I bought Jerry's first solo CD, The Boogie Depot. I bought it at a Rose's department store after high school.
I love that. So people that are listening to our conversation and they say, wow, I'm interested in getting Clean Pocket Change Matthew's book. What do you hope they take away from reading your book?
Luke 23:24 says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. My characters, they're genuinely good, but they're conformists and they don't think of their own life. Just seemed like a interesting adventure at first until life changes occurred. They probably feel like their lives are shaped by circumstances and things that happen to them. I think a lot of people are like that, but fortunately they change their lives after coming to realization about their incompatible thought plateau, and they successfully progress with worldly ideas. In other words, they develop goals and work hard, and an idle mind is the devil's playground.
Ooh, boy, isn't that true? So are you going to write more books? Will we see more books from you?
Yeah, I'm in the process of starting one right now. It's sort of the same formula, young people, mooding situations, and then, they a bunch of guys get together and they think of an idea. It's about some young blue-collar workers who can't find their way in society and make alternative decisions to make a living. They're not drug dealers, and, you know, they don't get into anything crazy, but they're not the good guys either. So.
Whoa. Ooh, well, don't tell us too much about that. And like I said, you can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can go to certainly Amazon, Clean Pocket Change, Matthew Roan. Did you have fun writing the book?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it was a lot of fun. You know, I would read out a situation. What do you think would happen next? Oh, you said like that. You know, people around me would just get excited over 90% of that happened in real life. I mean, the exorcism in the book, that happened in real life. The street fight happened.
Wow.
The Jumping for Jesus chapter, I made a play about that and the audience loved it. And that really happened.
Wow, how fun. Well, that's the best kind of writing, where you can take things that you know that happen and you can turn them into parts of what a novel is. It was great talking to you, Matthew. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kate.
On the back of Matthew Roan's book, he really sums up, and what he talked to us about there, what this book is about, where he says, this is a lighthearted comedy that it represents the time when radio played pop music and grunge music faded away. It'll take you back to a time before indoor malls became obsolete. Boy, isn't that true? And record stores barely existed. And then he talks about his main character in the novel, Kevin, who moves to Pennsylvania, joins the Army after the Marines, and then after joining the Army, his Army unit sets for deployment training in Washington and then for eventual deployment abroad. And, you know, in reading the first couple chapters of the book, you really get a sense of this. Here's one little piece that just made me laugh. And I think it'll probably make you laugh. He talks about Kevin only wanted trouble-free Army weekends to work and making friends. And besides, Kevin didn't see a difference in the chore list after merging with the Army Reserves from the Marines, the same candy but different wrapper. And he said both siblings traveled to godforsaken places headed by duffers lacking understanding, intelligence, and situational perception. At least Kevin receives good news about the next armpit move as Captain Mullins, follow along with me, briefed on the upcoming deployment, at least a year in advance. Who's ever been to Egypt, says Captain Mullins, as the warm morning sun shined vaguely through the office window and a projector displayed an Egyptian map on the wall during the briefing. We are deploying to Egypt 3 months from now, continued Captain Mullins. I realize the short notice here, but the Alabama National Guard got called to Iraq instead. So with that said, many of you will be disappointed to know that our next deployment will not be a war zone like Iraq or Afghanistan. Instead, we will be spending a year on the Sinai Peninsula in support of the MFO mission. Next slide, says Captain Mullins, and the projector handle proceeds to a mission statement slide. And that just, for anybody who's been through that, it just made me laugh out loud, because I've heard those stories of, you never know where you're going to go, and you think it's going to be where the action is, or you think it's going to be some of the places that you've been told, and then lo and behold, it's not any of those places. But there's so much about this story that's very, very funny, and I'm not surprised, because you get that sense, or I got that sense from talking to Matthew anyway. So I hope you enjoyed the interview, and boy, Clean Pocket Change is an easy, funny, funny, funny read. Hang with us.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Well, I have met an interesting lady. We had a conversation before we jumped into this interview. Melissa Franklin has written these books that I think an adult, they pull you in, but kids, absolutely, there's no question about it. And a couple of the books we're going to talk about include The London Taxi and The Golden Teddy Bear, Tim the London Taxi, and The Highgate Horror. And wait till you hear about Tim and what Tim does. So let's go to Melissa. Melissa, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What made you write these books? And you have many more books in the chute, as they say, too, by the way. What made you go down this path of becoming an author?
I've got quite a creative mind. I've done a lot of theatre work and singing, and I've always been into movies. But I've always read a lot of books. But I wanted to connect with children and show them that there is more innocence out there. I want to recreate the innocence of children. I want the children's innocence to be crafted, not exploited, get rid of all the violence that is out there, but show them there's good and excitement, and go to London, see Tim the Taxi, or all the London taxis that are out there, and think, which one's Tim? You know, which statue's going to come alive and follow him down Bond Street, you know, fighting crime on the way? And the pigeons of London come to help the route masters. Well, it used to be the route masters. We've now got different taxi buses over there. But everything comes alive and helps Tim on his missions to save people, to solve crimes. Crimes that people don't usually think would be happening and wouldn't envisage actually being real. As in my one story is the missing crown jewels, where Anne Boleyn comes back. Tim the London Taxi and the Golden Teddy Bear is my take on what happened. I think what happened to the Romanovs. and the Highgate Horror is my take on what happened to Louis XVI. But there's a twist at the end of that one. So there's a little bit of history in all of them. But I want children to stop looking at their mobile phones, start looking at what's around them and think, can that lion on Trafalgar Square come to life and save the Queen of England from being killed, kicked or whatever? You know, there needs to be some more excitement in kids' lives other than computer games and sat in their pushchairs looking at a screen. They need to see what's around them and imagine what's happening around them and have their own dreams of what may happen. So, yeah, that's what Tim's up to.
Yeah, Tim the Taxi. Tell us more about Tim the Taxi.
He's a mysterious taxi because nobody knows how he can think and talk for himself and how he can solve crimes. That will come along way later. It might come along way later. We don't know yet. But he has the powers, to think and talk for himself, solve unusual crimes. He's driven around by Jack, who's ex-army, ex-SAS. So he masquerades as a taxi driver, but Tim can obviously drive himself around on his own. But, yeah, he goes into all sorts of places. Obviously, there's some places he can't go, so Jack will go instead. But he's under the disguise of a taxi driver, which is a good way to get around London quickly but legally, as he says.
I like that. So who told you that? You know what? This is really good, and I think you should get a publisher. It's actually somebody who's quite well known.
Yes. A partner of mine who works in the industry was working on Sherlock a few years ago and actually approached Mark Gatiss, or Mr. Gatiss, of course, not Gatiss, sorry, and asked him if he'd read my first manuscript, and he was quite happy to do that. So I got a lovely handwritten letter back from him. And he suggested I get a publisher. So, yeah, Mr. Gatiss was very kind to say that.
And that gave you that gave you just even more confidence in that there's something here, and so I need to pursue it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of children's books out there.
But this one, but specifically, I mean, how great is that? Again, that he encouraged you to do that. You did that, and then here we go. We have the birth of, Tim, the London taxi, and as you said, the scrapes that are out there happening, and your version of taking some history and taking this character and making this character and using children's imaginations. I mean, to your point, it is about video games and the screen, and if the books are well written, which they are, it pulls kids into the story.
And it also gets them out of the house, as I said, away from the screens, because I think there's too much. Every time I go into town, there's a child in a pushchair with a screen in front of it, to keep it quiet. Nobody talks to kids these days. It would be great for a child to go to London, see a taxi and ask their mom and dad, oh, is that Tim? Why is this, will this statue come alive? Their imaginations need to be more tweaked rather than cartoons on a screen. They need to think for themselves and think what might be happening in that taxi. And at night, do the statues come to life? There's adventures in London.
There's adventures in London that are happening right before their eyes. And we're speaking to Melissa Franklin. And Melissa, for you, another thing that you told me is that you, started to write or think about that when you were 13. So this is like your dream coming full circle.
Yes, my godfather gave me the idea when I was about 13, and it was very childlike at that point, because it was Trevor the Traffic Light as well, all little things like that. But I just kept getting it just kept getting put back because I joined the theatre, I started singing and dancing, then I left England to go and work on the Isles of Scilly, then I came back, and every so often I'd go back to it, and then it would grow and it would get more mature. I get more ideas because you change over the years. Your ideas change over the years. So, so when I met Matthew, he kindly took my manuscript, as I said, to the set of Sherlock and asked Mark Gatiss if he'd read it. And that's the catalyst that actually got me to work harder and get more books done. So I've got quite a few books in the pipeline. So I want to make, I'm hoping, you never know, Harry Potter might want to lift in Tim the Taxi.
That would be brilliant. I love that idea, Harry Potter.
I might call J.K. Rowling in the score.
Yeah.
You never know.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you can get the books on Amazon. We can't wait to see what comes next. And the character is wonderful. You have quite an imagination. Melissa Franklin, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I love the idea what Melissa Franklin has done in her books, where you talk about, you know, where she talks about Tim the London Taxi and the golden teddy bear and all of that. And, you know, it just made me think the importance of a teddy bear to me in my life. I mean, how many of you know that image, you know the whole idea of the teddy bear and what it means to you? And usually it means comfort, right? And you invent, when you're a kid, you invent all kinds of stories with the bear. And I love that she did that. And what's cool to me is the way she weaves it into the mystery, right? The Romanov family, who were executed, which is true, in 1918, and the Russian government is still hiding secrets regarding that, and that they would, if they came out, it would ruin the government, you know, forever and just completely blow away and shock the world if that happened. And the whole idea of what happens with this London taxi, who has definitely a mind of its own. And so bravo on the creativity, right? And you could hear that weaved into that conversation. It just is so fascinating to me how books start and how somebody like a Melissa, how she gets an idea, follows it through, and takes you all the way up, 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 you know, Tim the London Taxi and the Golden Teddy Bear, how she takes you all the way up in one direction and then takes you in another direction with the bear and whips it into an interesting story. It made me think of a couple of children's movies that were children's slash adult movies almost, right? Like Spy, etc. And I could see this. I really could see this on a big screen. And it's fascinating again what happened when you go back in time, when you think of the Bolshevik secret police and how in control they were, right, where they were. And then, you know, what happens on a larger picture and how she takes it in such an interesting direction. So I would say, you know, bravo with the creativity. No question about it. That's the exciting part of introducing you to people like Melissa Franklin and the stories and the tales that they weave. And we said it throughout the conversation, by the way, if you're a Kindle person, like a lot of times I am, I didn't used to be, but I am because I'm on the move sometimes. Kindle's a great way to do this. Great way to do this. Or even paperback, and it's a song, and you can, of course, get it on Amazon.com. So thanks to Melissa for coming on the show and telling us about her stories. And thanks to all of you for listening. Remember, make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.